I was so glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. Come on this rally day, this September 8th, beginning of the Christian year, as we have programs that are established for all ages and for all abilities and for all kinds of desires and interests. There are many things on the calendar happening for us today. So I know that because we are gathering on Rally Day, it's a beginning of a startup for a new program year, and we might need to come together around what all is new on the calendar. What announcements do we have that we want everybody to know about so they can support our programs? Thank you, Johnny. So that everyone hears that, today there is a conversation around the process of getting ready to, or not, sell the property that is adjacent to the driveway over there. So that will be a conversation today after the benediction and after the closing music. So if you want to stay and be a part of that conversation, we will talk about and answer questions today. And next week, the 15th, a duly called congregational meeting will occur so that we can vote on the decision to continue the process of preparing to sell the land. And we will vote on the remaining deacons that need to be elected to the board for 2021 and 22. We have three more nominations to make next Sunday. Next Sunday is the official meeting. Thank you, Johnny. Are there other announcements? I don't see any. Well, do you want to make an announcement now, or do you want to do it during the? Go up. Okay. To reassure us that...
What? Lions game fan.
No.
Or no worries.
What's going to happen on the 20th out in front on the lawn under the trees? We're going to show the movie, The Lion King, the animated version.
I think we've changed the date. Present word.
Present word. The present word literature, and you'll have a book that you can study and join with that. Thank you, guys. And she's not here today, but when you see Petey, she's taught for many years. Okay. Oh, but you can't have her candy or her gift card. People snark on you. So we appreciate her years of teaching. Upstairs, if you were to go upstairs, you would find James Farmer, who was here but's not now, and he teaches a class up with, it's got the little cubby hole, you can look at him, and it's a Bible-based class. They study different books of the Bible. Reggie teaches in 2:13. And he teaches current topics, and he's not here. And then last year, Paige and Sandy, got to stand out, and Bev, Paige, Sandy, Bev, and Beth. I have to count my fingers. Step out, guys. Taught the children's class and did a marvelous job, and I really appreciated that. There they are. So they're, and this year, they'll be teaching the youth, Paige with a helper will be doing the youth, and Bev and Sandy and Beth will be doing the children. We would like one more children's teacher if you're interested. We have the literature, and it's not a, it is something you need to study, so I always hate to say it's not a difficult job because then that negates what you're doing. But it's an important job.
And the reverse
job.
Of that, Sheila, is the children teach us.
Well, that's right. The children always teach us, don't they? So we appreciate y'all's help. Rick and Heather have had coffee and a conversation. Stand up, Heather. They provide coffee and conversation and welcoming in the education parlor, and I appreciate them doing that because they do a great job with that. And Sherry, I saw her. Sherry Cook and Graham this last year worked with the youth, and Sherry will continue to do that one Sunday a month to teach meditation and centering and a biblical look at that. Thank you, Meg. Let's
and Sheila too.
Oh no, I don't do that. We have gathered to worship, and we will continue in our sense of reading scripture responsively on page 617. The bottom right-hand corner will be the verse 1 that Ben will begin for us, and then we will read responsively through the verses that are on the screen for this opening up of Psalm 139, a very, very powerful psalm talking about God's presence with us wherever we are. So please read it slowly and thoughtfully and follow Ben.
O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways.
Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord.
You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain.
Thank you.
seated. The Whole People of God curriculum provides a liturgy for the beginning of the church year. They call it a recovenanting Sunday, a rededication Sunday, or rally day Sunday, which is where we are today. And I know that a lot of leaders are spread around the congregation, and some are going to come forward and represent their leadership, and others of you will be spread out around the congregation, as is the place from which we come when we become the leaders. But there are a few that are particularly going to join us in the front, and then some others that we'll read from the pews where you're seated. I know that we need Sandy and Beth and Paige to come, and because they have a particular line as the new leaders. Bonnie Pace is on her feet because I asked her to come up as an active elder. And if there is a resting elder in the congregation that would like to represent their position, you're welcome to do that. And any other teachers, I know that Kelly and Jack, maybe if they are in here, they need to come up front. Any other active teachers that want to be in the front of the congregation are most welcome. I have some students. We have youth. Leah and Sam and Riley are going to be our students. And we know that we're just going to, our goal is to spread around here, the front. And the choir, we'll let them stay in place. That's a little bit difficult. I know I have an usher that might be going to come forward and represent the ushers as we give the leadership. And if there's new members who would like to come and stand, or a representative of one of the skirtics, that would be fine as they're thinking about it. But or read right where you are, wherever you want to be. If there's an active deacon who would like to be represented and in the front, I would invite you to come now, or resting deacons. But any place, and everybody will have at least one line, and some of you will have more than that. Any place that you have a line as we look at this litany of rededication on the back of the part of the family, please read it at that time. Choir and Charles will be resounding from in the back. Okay, Aiden, come up here and read with me when you're ready to be a student. Everybody that wants to be in the front is. I'm so proud of all of you here. So let us begin this litany now.
So, what do I do?
I'll show you. Gracious and everlasting God, we meet today in thanksgiving for this new program year. As we look forward to the joys of discovering new ways to be faithful, we dedicate ourselves again to your service, and we ask you to bless and multiply our efforts.
Teach us, O God, as we take on this new mantle of leadership, to coordinate stimulating activists of education, fellowship, and outreach with our children and youth.
That might learn more
to love and son
and
grant that we might lead your people in praising you.
It's hard to say it all at once.
Pray, play our instruments, and lift our voices together.
Might we be one in a spirit of Christian hospitality, extending prayers, refreshment, and or transportation as specific needs arise.
Grant us courage to ask questions for things that sound strange, practices that seem foreign, or simply programs for which we seek more information.
Use us all, O God, in ways that please you, to serve your people and to honor your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now stand. Thank you. Please be seated. Come on back. We come in peace. We come knowing how important it is to spread this vein of peace in and around our pews and our neighborhood, and especially in our church, and connected to our sister churches here and around the presbytery. So as we commune together and think about the sense of God's presence and Holy Spirit, as you look into each other's eyes, find that Spirit present for us this morning. The peace of Christ be with you. Please share. Don't be shy. Please be seated. We have a treat this morning. There are youth that are going to introduce and read for us the scripture from Jeremiah. So Aiden and Rebecca are going to introduce, and then George will read this passage.
In one of the stories of creation in the book of Genesis, we hear about God creating the first human from a lump of clay or earth and breathing the breath of life into him. In today's reading from Jeremiah, the prophet speaks of God reshaping that clay again because sin had caused the clay to get out of shape.
Hi, my name is Jeremiah. I lived a long, long time ago in the land of Judah. I could see that people were not living as God had commanded. When I was just a teenager, God called me to become a prophet. God wanted me to speak up and tell the people what I could see, how we were all going to end up in a very sad way if we didn't change our actions. The people had turned away from worshiping God. They no longer cared about widows or orphans or those who were treated unfairly.
Jeremiah tried to tell the people that God was disappointed in their actions, no longer living in loving ways as they had promised to do. But the people would not listen. They just laughed. They said that they were God's chosen people and nothing bad would ever happen to them.
I knew that was not right. They could not ignore the people who in need or worship idols and expect God to be happy. But how could I get the people to listen to me before it's too late? I asked God to help me know what to do. God told me to go to the pottery's shop and I would know what to say. Here are my words. They are written. Here are my words. As they were written in the Bible, your Bible.
This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands, so that the pot formed into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, Can I not do with you, Israel, as the potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn apart, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. If at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I intended to do for it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. A word from the Lord for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good job. I invite all the children and youth to come and continue hearing about these stories. So please come join me. Good job. Good morning. I hear some change rattling in your pockets. So everybody's got, so anybody has any money, they can put it right into the church. Thank you, Emily. And I have a story for you. I'm going to ask you about some characters, and then I'm going to ask the congregation the same question. So help me know if you have ever heard a story about Philemon and Onesimus. Have any of you ever heard anything about Philemon or Onesimus? Let's see if the congregation knows anything about Philemon and Onesimus. Does anybody in the congregation know anything about Philemon or Onesimus? There are a couple of hands. There are some people that have heard about them. But this congregation needs a lot of help in interpreting what Philemon and Onesimus and Paul and some of the other people in this story might be able to teach us. Now, there was a church in Colossae that Philemon was his, and he had opened his house up for this church of new Christians that were meeting to hear stories about Jesus. So that was a plus. But then Philemon had a person that was understood to be his slave. His name was Onesimus. And then there was also the church and all of its rulings and the decisions that they made. And there was a big controversy over whether or not Onesimus was needing to be returned to Philemon. So I want this part of this group to be the church with Philemon that was meeting in the Philemon's home. And then I need some characters. I need a person to be Paul. You want to be Paul, Luke? This will be yours. You want to be the rabbi? Okay, you be the rabbi. And you can be Philemon. Okay? Okay, you've got a long piece to read. So why don't you stand up? Now, Philemon, this is your congregation, so you need to talk to these people. And the rabbi, now rabbis of the day were not particularly connected. Oh, you know what? You're actually a soldier. I'm sorry. Riley, rabbis were not connected to the Christian church so much. So would you go stand right over there on the other side of where Paul is? And Paul, you stand right here. And you are a Roman soldier. And there are rules in Rome about what happens to slaves. So, and everybody, Leah, you're Philemon. They're leading this church. So if anybody has to address Philemon, look at Leah. She doesn't have any speaking part. But here is the new church, all of us gathered here today and listening to this activity around what is happening with Philemon and Paul and Onesimus. So you're last, Paul. And go ahead, Miss, you are the rabbi. So tell us what, yeah. Read real loudly, Rabbi. Come over here and use this. We'll pretend that she's not connected to this church. Okay. Face the congregation. Turn around. Now read your scroll.
I am a rabbi from the temple in Jerusalem. I am highly trained in the law of Moses. I understand you were once a slave, but you managed to escape. Good for you. According to the law of Moses, I am not bound to send you back. You may stay here with me. I will not require you to serve me. Please make yourself at home.
Okay, that's pretty fair. Now,
is it me?
Go ahead.
Okay. I am a soldier under the rule of the great empire of Rome. You are a runaway slave, subject to punishment. Repayment of anything you might have taken from your master and condemned to a future of harsh labor. According to whatever your owner requests, what do you say about that? You guilty scoundrel.
You guilty scoundrel that ran away. All right, so there's two choices. You've got the rabbi who said you can be freed because you got away on your own. And you have the Roman rule that says you have to go back and be a slave again and be subject to whatever your owner wants you to do. Who do you choose?
Me.
Well, there's a couple of choices. Okay, let's see what Paul has to say. You can talk to your, turn around and talk to your sister. Now, all of you people in the church, it's really important that you hear this today. Read what Paul says.
I am Paul, a prisoner for Christ, still stuck in Rome.
I have been helped a great deal by Onesimus, who has become like a brother to me. I have thought a lot about what I should do, and I have decided to send him back to you, even though I really want to keep him here with me. But if he is to come and help me, I want to be with your full blessing. By Jewish law, I did not need to send him back to you. By Roman law, you have the right to punish him in any way you choose, but I'm appealing to choose to observe the law of love, which we have to come to know in Jesus Christ. In Christ, we are all equals. We are all brothers and sisters. What do you say, dear friend and brother? Philemon, won't you welcome Onesimus and let him help you spread the good news that we are all one in Christ Jesus?
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Rabbi. And thank you, Roman soldier. Now, Onesimus, let's see, Leah, you were Philemon. But if all of you heard that letter about what the three choices were, now I'm going to ask you to say who you would follow next. Would you follow Paul's letter, or would you follow the rabbi who said you could go free and stay in his house? Or would you follow the Roman soldier who said you had to go back to Philemon and be a slave again? Who would you follow, Luke?
I would follow Paul because he said, let's spread God's word.
Paul said, let's spread God's word together. So let's raise your hands. Would all the people that would follow Paul's letter, please let me know of this group. Yes. All right, all the people that would follow the Roman law so that the slave had to go back and be punished, raise your hands. No, you don't want to raise. Oh, she's raising her hand. Okay, thank you, Jack, for that obstinance there. And who would follow the rabbi who said you could stay in his house? That would be a nice thing, too. What about the congregation? How many of you would follow the letter of Paul and let Onesimus go free and be one in sharing the good news? Are there any people in the congregation that would follow that? There's some timid responses. Oh, there come some braver people. Who would follow the Roman law and say that Onesimus should be condemned and punished? I don't see any hands there. Is there anybody that would follow the rabbi law and say you could stay, that Onesimus could stay in his house with him and be comfortable? No, nope, no voters there. This is a quiet crowd today, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, speak up, y'all.
Speak up, y'all.
Yeah, speak up.
Vote for Paul.
Under Roman law, he could have been crucified. Thank you, Steve. I don't think we would pick that. There was no votes for Roman law. Right. Well, we vote for Paul. Let's vote for Paul.
Yay!
Okay.
Thank
you for your participation. I would like us to pray now. Let us pray. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love.
Thank you for your new law.
Thank you for inviting us to serve with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. No, I don't think there's children's church. There's nursery. You don't need nursery.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. Whichever way you want to say. Yeah. You can go back and sit with your parents. for any of the parts that I might have gotten confused, I'm going to go right to the scripture and this on page 1183 and read this story or read this letter that is directly from Paul. Starting with verse 4. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. You, Philemon, you, the early church, you, Onesimus, my brother, you, people of Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love, people of Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church, your love, Philemon, who is my brother, your love, Onesimus, who has been my devoted colleague in prison. I thank God for you. I hope that you will have a full understanding because your love has given me joy and encouragement, because you, brothers and sisters, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. You, people of Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man and now a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous. It will be of your own will. It will be of your own volition in response to the love of Jesus Christ, not ever by force. Perhaps the reason that Onesimus was separated from you for a little while was that I might have him for good. No, it was so that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave. He might be your dear brother. So, if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention, though, that you already owe me your very self. I do not wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord, but refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I asked. And one more thing, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. A word from the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now, O Lord, may all the meditations and words from our hearts and mouths be acceptable to you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Amen. I am quite sure that I have never preached on Philemon or Onesimus in all my years of ministry. It's a tiny little page tucked in between Titus and maybe First Paul, our first one of the letters of John. So he's just hidden in there. But it is an amazing story. It is a powerful witness of how much Onesimus has come to mean to Paul. Now, not having ever preached on this, I did a lot of reading. I needed to figure out what this story was really about. And I think we might remember that there are times in Scripture, and it was the case that even in Rome, Paul could have been on house arrest. We know what that means. People are kept in a particular area because now we have a GPS system. We can figure out if they leave. I don't know exactly. Maybe there were guards that kept Paul on house arrest. But the only way that Onesimus would have gotten to know Paul while he was in prison would have been if he had been imprisoned himself, because, or if Paul was indeed like locked in a cell. But most commentators feel like Onesimus and Paul were learning ministry together, because Onesimus had been influenced at Paul's feet. Onesimus had sat and learned from Paul, just as Paul had learned from great rabbis. So it makes a little sense that Onesimus might not have been in prison, and that he came to know Paul while they were working together, while Paul was under house arrest. But Paul was still likely in the area of Rome, and for Philemon, who was ministering in Colossae, the town, that was an ocean across. Paul in Rome in Italy, with Colossae in what is now Asia Minor, they were quite far apart. So Paul was possibly receiving ministry and help from Onesimus while he was being held in prison, in house arrest, I think. But we know from the scripture that Onesimus had a profound influence on Paul as well. He became like a brother. He was from the heart of Paul, as if they were connected. They were family. They were kin. Paul and Onesimus were breathing the same air, serving the same Lord, walking the same path, embodying the ministry Jesus was calling them to follow. Onesimus had become really special. We don't think much today about official slavery. We don't know this story as what it might mean to get taken back to a slave owner. But in reality, today's existence of slavery is greater than it was during the struggles of the 1800s and the mid-1900s, when there were still slave owners. There are more slaves now imprisoned by lords or masters or people who have control of people's lives in ways beyond anything we've ever recognized. Slavery is still one of the angst of our world. So what does this story have to do with Cook's Memorial? Where do we fit into this? How do we embody what Onesimus was able to embody for Jesus? How Paul was able to receive the kind of support that he needed for his own heart, a member of his family. There was a point about having the leaders stand in front of the congregation and to have leaders of the congregation in the pews where you are seated, because it is about us being together as the body of Christ. Not that we are anyone held to slavery, but that we are held to following the rule of God's love. We are held to being those people that carry out Jesus' commandments. Paul gave Onesimus the letter that he had written, and Onesimus had to take it to Philemon over to Colossae. Could Philemon have received that letter in private? No. Paul said to Onesimus to give Philemon the letter in front of the church. Paul trusted Onesimus to give that letter to Philemon, but he wanted also the body of the church to be accountable for how Philemon would carry out the letter that he had sent. Peer pressure is one of those things we have as a gift when we are acting in the love, when we are trustworthy for the things that the church has called us to do, when we make vows to love and serve the Church of Jesus Christ, to sing and to teach and to lead and to serve. all of those pieces, we are accountable to one another for holding up the body of Christ. And Paul wanted to make sure that Philemon read the letter in front of the church. Because we're not just watching. We're never innocent bystanders. We, as the body of Christ, are all participants. We have even that earlier story where Aidan and George and Rebecca explained so well that God sent Jeremiah to the potter's house to look at how he could help reform people. Never did they get rid of the clay. God takes the clay and reshapes it. We need to sometimes put our heart and soul into the hands of our Creator and let ourselves be needed and pushed and directed in ways we have not wanted to go. We resist. We are like that hard plastic instead of the soft clay. But God wants to shape us. God wants to take us as if we were newborns, as if we were beginning again for the first time. That's what we believe when we practice the waters of baptism. So Emma was ready to pour those waters a lot earlier where we normally do it. But I'd like Emma to come now and pour those waters of baptism because they represent a new beginning. They are not only for babies. They're not only for first-time believers. They are for Christians in every walk of our lives. That water means we are cleansed. The past is gone. The new stands before us. The new that refreshes us, that cleanses us, that charges us to be accountable to one another, to be reshaped by the love of God, and to practice as the incarnate Church of Jesus Christ. Whether we be teachers or singers, whether we be prayers or readers, whether we be cooks or cleaner-uppers after big meals, we all, each one, have extremely important roles to serve. And as we do them together, as we do them in support of one another, we carry out our baptismal vows. We carry out the ministry of God's church. We are made fresh and new again for the beginning of a new year, for the beginning of this Sabbath day, and for the goodness and hopefulness of the ministry of this church. Hallelujah. Amen. As we come to time of prayer, I know there are concerns that we have all been carrying this week. I know you will be very happy to hear that Connie's troop had extremely successful surgery. It was major surgery. She's still in the hospital, but she's recovering very well, and the prognosis is extremely good, so we are very thankful, and she is thankful for all of your prayers. Her whole family is thankful. And I know we are on the horizon of surgery for Jill Griffin. She will have back surgery this coming Thursday, the 12th, and so we ask that everybody continue to surround her in care and support as we expect and hope for her good recovery as well. A couple of people have been on our prayer list before. Mildred Grice is home and doing well, recovering from her heart attack, and Carolyn Young is getting therapy and gaining strength, and for that we are thankful. I know that there are others that you might bring as well that we are anticipating or celebrating their recoveries. What prayer concerns do you have? Please, Riley, yes. Sam's dad has had gallbladder surgery and is recovering. Sam, thank you. Riley, what would you like?
My Nana, she lives in Wilmington.
Ooh.
And just pray that her
doesn't,
you know, wipe
the house away, because
I just redid it.
Well, all the people across, I mean, Riley's aunt especially, who lives in Wilmington, and other people across the whole Atlantic Ocean. Yes, Sam? We will continue to think of all of those people and your family, especially Sam. Thank you. Does anyone else have any concerns or celebrations? Yes.
I have a celebration. We had family. They got trapped from Michigan, headed back to Charleston. They couldn't get to Charleston, so they stayed at our house this week. And no damage, just a lot of limbs and trees. And one family member is still out of power. But we're just grateful that nothing's significant. And just prayers for the first responders and the people with property and human loss in the Bahamas and all the way to Nova Scotia. It's just awful. It's happening too frequently.
Thank you, Sherry. Let us be aware of God's presence. We know in our immediate family, O God, that we are thankful that Connie Stroop has been through her surgery and is now on the road to recovery. Help her to breathe deeply and without pain, and might she continue to gain strength as she is doing each and every day. Surround Connie and all of her family and all of her church family as we are connected through one another's hearts with each other. And we anticipate surgery, O God, for Jill Griffin this coming Thursday, knowing that she has lived a very, very hard path of a lot of pain and immobility and crippledness. And we ask for miracles and wonders to be done with technology and helpfulness to straighten her back and to help her neck and to help that be a pain relieved for her. Be with Jill's surgeons and caregivers and nurses and anesthetists and everybody who surrounds her bedside this coming Thursday. Be with her family, with Steve and her kids, and each of her church family members as we support her and anticipate a good result. We ask your presence too, O God, with all of those in this congregation who are recovering from surgery. Thank you for Sam's dad and his recovery from gallbladder surgery and for others who have had surgeries with Mildred Grice and everybody who is in recovery. Be with Carolyn Young and all of the people that are in health needs and celebrating their strength, the strength of their bodies. And we know too, oh God, that today is a celebration day for the family of Betty Hunt. Betty would be 94 years old today, and her family is together to remember her and to celebrate the spirit and influence that she had on their lives, and we know that that continues.
And for that sense of everlasting life, we are eternally grateful to you, our Lord and Savior. But there are many who have experienced sudden death in the trials of this hurricane and even some tornado winds all across, from the Bahamas all the way to Nova Scotia, that great swath of land and homes and roads and power lines and everything that has been affected by this storm that continues but is slowly declining. Anything that is able to be supported and helped by our not only prayers but our activities, our sense of sending dollars and also sending people to help clean up the incredible mess, the absolutely flattened devastation that has occurred across your land. Walk with them as we pray for and help serve in your name. We are thankful, O God, for birthdays. We are thankful for the beginning of the church year. We are thankful for those who pour their hearts into the life of this congregation. Add for us that sense of participation and realizing that each of the gifts we bring, whether small or large, are all the same in your eyes, because you know when we participate, it makes your heart dance. Might we be truthful and loving, might we be pure and holy, as is your Son Jesus, in whose name we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
Gracious God, we thank you for those who look beyond existing solutions to forge a new path to new life. We ask your blessing on the people and their work. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to skip that last hymn, and I'm going to give the benediction. Well, no, stay standing. But I'm sorry. Stay standing. I'll give the benediction, and we'll sing Sent Out in Jesus' name for anybody who wants to leave. And now, dear friends, let us go out into this world knowing that we go out in God's peace. Let us go out into this world knowing that the work of worship has begun and it is upon our shoulders and within our hearts to carry out. Let us know that we are a forgiven people. We are cleansed to share the news, the good news with Jesus Christ, and to share his freedom, love, and peace with all. Amen. Send out in Jesus' name, where's there some candy now, to make an earth a place in which the kingdom comes. The angels cannot see, it's a place of light and dream, and justice out of love, of justice and of peace. The task is ours to do, to set us really free. I know that Bonnie Pace is ready to help make a presentation. If you need to leave, that's fine. But if you want to stay for the conversation around the proposal to sell the land adjacent to the church, then please be seated.